everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. Definitely a busy day for news.
Yes, indeed. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Of course, we've got some blueberry stuff that was breaking.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about some podcast news. We're going to go into some best practice. Of course, we're going to talk about what's happening here at Blueberry. We've got a pro tip. We've got an interview today with our podcaster of the month, Dr. Denise McDermott, MD. So an exciting interview with her. It was, I had a fantastic time talking with her. And she just recently interviewed me in reverse, and now I'm on her show. So
that's how it happens sometimes. I've done that before too, where, you know, first half hour I'm being interviewed and the second half hour I'm interviewing.
Yeah. So we got a question of the week as well, but hey, let's kick things off, and we're going to talk about a little blueberry news today that leads up to some things that are coming next week. Plan changes. We have, for the first time in like...
Well, it's been since 09 or no, even before that, I think.
A long time. Yeah. We have announced new hosting levels. Basically, we're giving you more. And if you are a advanced hosting customer, starting next Tuesday, the 15th, if you before had a $20 account, you had 250 megs of storage, you now get 400.
Yes.
If you had a $40 account, you had 500, and you're now going to get 800. And if you had an $80 account and you were getting 1,000 megs, you're now getting 1,600 megs a month on your plans. Now, we're not making any changes to the standard hosting plan, but we are doing it to advanced. And we're also, with this update in storage levels, we're doing away with our no-fault plan. Our no-fault plan used to allow you to have 25% over the storage, and we're terminating that with these new...
That one was hard to understand for some people, and even, you know, some of us on the staff were a little confused about it sometimes. So, you know, this is a lot easier. We just have hard limits, and of course, if you have something special going on some month and you need a little extra, just, you know, shoot us an email. We're pretty good about that kind of thing, so...
Yeah. And I think the thing here is what we've done is we've tried to make our advanced hosting plans more
inclusive,
juicy, you know, and have extra features. Yes. You know, you get the advanced stats now with advanced hosting. That used to be $5 extra a month. We took that off, and it's, you just get it now as part of advanced hosting. And
you get the website where you can actually map a domain, which was $20 extra before.
That's right.
So that's a big savings.
So, you know, now any of our advanced hosting plans, and if you have a free WordPress site with us, again, you can map that domain, and that's a best-in-class, best-purpose. Yeah, so we've tried to add value here to our plans, and we're going to continue. This is the thing. Yep. This is kind of like baseline.
Yep.
This has all been planned for a while.
We've been talking about this, I want to say, at least 2 years, how we wanted to do this.
Yeah, so we've been stepping through. You guys seen that we've done a whole bunch of, you know, we've updated onboarding, and there's actually onboarding updates coming to PowerPress directly. There's been changes to the dashboard. There's been changes to the stats, you know, really a revamping of the entire website. Yeah. So we're marching forward, and this is just the beginning. I'm just, because we're focused, absolutely unequivocally focused on helping you grow, and part of giving these additional storage limits is just to make it easier, have a higher quality show.
Or you could do, you know, where you might have had a hard time fitting it into 250 megs a month, the 400 give you enough breathing room where you can stay on that plan and not have to upgrade. That's, you know, another advantage. Even, or if you wanted to bump your quality up a little bit, you know, I don't know if that's necessary in most cases, but if you wanted to, you got a little extra room to do it.
And really, the $20 plan allows you about 6 hours now of content if you encoded 128 kilobits per second.
Yeah.
So if you want to go higher on that encoding, you can. But again, the extra storage is there for you to use it. And I'm really pleased that we're making this jump next Tuesday. A lot more stuff coming next week. We got a lot more to talk about on the show next week. Mm-hmm. with some big announcements. And, you know, I think it's basically a culmination of a lot of things we've been working towards. So anyway, that's our news for our Blueberry podcasters. We hope you're excited. And I hope what we're doing, too, is for those of you who are sitting on the fence and not hosting with us yet, we're giving you a more compelling reason to move. The stats alone in what we announced Monday with the survey.
I don't even know.
Is that in the show notes? We're talking about
We're going to talk about it again later.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it here in a little bit. But let's go ahead and get into the regular stack of news, and then we'll come back into more Blueberry stuff.
Yeah.
So Kai Chuck, Director of Partnerships at YouTube, will have a session at Podcast Movement Evolutions.
Yeah, it sounds like YouTube is gearing up to make bigger inroads. And the next story kind of proves that. YouTube is paying up to $300,000 to get podcasters to do more videos.
Well, being that we just increased people's storage limits, you can start doing some video now with us, too.
Yeah, and with video podcasting, there's no censorship.
That's right. You don't have to worry about being deplatformed by anybody. It's AKA YouTube. So,
and I love YouTube, but you know, they just, you know, you say the wrong word in your video and, you know, poof, you're gone, or, or you don't get any money if that's what you're doing for a living, or doing for some extra jingle. You know, I know a lot of, YouTubers that are making decent money, but you got all those eggs in that one basket.
A small percentage of people are making good money. But anyway, we'll see what YouTube has to say at Podcast Movement Evolutions. Of course, the Blueberry team will be there. So I hope you stop by our booth and see Mackenzie and I. We'll be there the full time at Podcast Movement. Spotify is removing content from RT and Sputnik. I'm surprised it took them this long.
Yeah. RT is Russia Today, I believe. And they're taking them out. Over the Ukraine conflict.
Yep.
But anyways, an article over there at The Verge about that.
So one thing I found interesting was that this next article title, Apple Podcast App Keeps Getting Worse, says Fast Company, but they say, and I will never stop using it.
Yes, the guy that wrote it, he's like, well, you know, it's damn convenient, you know, and that's part of it, you know, is you get your iPhone, it's already there. In my humble opinion, it does suck, but, you know, we kind of have to use it because that's sort of the standard, you know?
I use it, and I don't know why everyone thinks it sucks. Yeah. I've subscribed to the shows I want. I go in. It's not difficult to.
It's not hard to use. Of course.
No, I just don't understand why they say it sucks. But
yeah, I definitely like Overcast better. But I have to use. You know, I've got an Android over here with every possible app on it. And I got all the apps for iOS because, you know, we've got to test that stuff. And you know, I have certain shows I listen to on Apple and certain ones I use on Overcast. And I don't know, some of the Podcast 2.0 apps, I listen to a few there so I can throw them a little jingle once in a while via value for value. So, you know, but Apple, you know, it works. That's the good thing.
And it's on the phone when you buy one and it's right there. That's the key. Yeah. That's what's made the big difference.
Yeah, and I wonder why Google hasn't done the same thing with their app. I mean, they've tried podcasting now, what, 4 or 5 times. And
there's not a clear strategy what's going on at Google right now. They were hot on it there for a while. Then it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's cool they got it on Apple, but it's still not making much progress.
Right. Only 1.22% of podcast episodes use chapters in any way. And we don't actually, I don't remember the last time someone asked. Well, first of all, chapters have been supported by Apple Podcasts natively since the beginning.
Yeah, on and off, and there's different ways of doing it.
And I know the Podcast 2.0 folks have tried to re-enhance chapters.
Yeah, and the guy that does Overcast has his version of it.
But why, if there's only one, you know, here again, we look at stuff that we have to build and support. If only 1.22% of podcast episodes use chapters, no one, and people start their shows and they just listen to the shows. They don't go and look at the phone while they're listening to a podcast. So
I listen to a podcast instead of watching a video, so I don't have to look at my phone.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's, you know, enhanced chapter information, which you can put right in the MP3, so it doesn't require anything to support it other than the app that you're using. You could have embedded chapter information directly. You can have RSS 2.0 stuff.
Most people are like, chapters what?
Yeah, exactly. I do listen to a podcast that's using Overcast chapters. It's kind of cool. Like when I'm in my truck and I've got it on Apple CarPlay, you know, the chapter things come up and, you know, you can kind of look over and see what they're talking about. But had I not known that that existed, I wouldn't have even bothered with it. It's, you know,
right.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's an interesting statistic, and I'm not surprised. According to Tom Webster, host red ads are the beachfront property of podcast advertising. This is should not be a surprise.
No, and that's, you know, it's, of course, that's probably the most expensive way to advertise, but probably the most effective way.
Right.
And, you know, Tom goes into a whole bunch of detail here. He's you guys probably know Tom from Edison Research, and but he has some hard data here on, you know, what works better and what doesn't.
One thing's for sure. He had another piece out recently talking about ad load and how ad load has just gotten out of control in some commercial shows and some networks where there's 6-7 ads in a podcast. And that's just, in my personal opinion, simply ridiculous. I mean, you really don't care about the listeners when you're running that many ads. You're just greedy.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I keep saying this, when Joe Rogan was, on Libsyn instead of Spotify, where he's at now exclusively, he had a full 6 minutes of pre-roll.
Wow.
And it was, you know, you could just reliably forward 6 minutes and avoid every ad in the show. So I don't even understand why the advertisers would want that.
Right.
You know.
Well, because they're on Joe Rogan's show.
I guess. Yeah. Bragging rights.
You don't have to worry about performance. You just go over there and, you know, you run 20 ads and it's life. Yeah. But anyway. So the questions was asked, how many podcasts are there?
Yep. And James from Pod News wrote a pretty good article here about, you know, the different places, you know, what is it? Spotify says they have 3.6 million shows. Podcast Index says it's up to 4.2 million shows. Apple, like 2.4, something like that. And, you know, the thing is not all podcasts are in all places. And there's, you know, there's some podcast feeds out there that Podcast Index picks up that are probably private feeds, not private secured or anything, but just non-published. You know, where they're out there, they're public, but they're not pushed anywhere. You know, that people are just using to, you know, maybe with their friends or for other reasons. You know, RSS and podcast technology can be used for other things other than a show.
So here's where I'm going to just break it down.
Sure.
4.2 million is the Podcast Index number. Mm-hmm. 108,000 shows have created an episode in the last 3 days. 235,000 in the last 10. 333,000 in the last 30. 409,000 in the last 60 and 468,000 in the last 90. So what that tells me is there's 468,000 active shows of those 4.2 million. So you're still, that number hasn't really changed that much over the past couple of years as far as active shows. So if you're lasting more than 90 days and you break down categories, then if you think about 468K, and how many Apple categories are there now? There's, what is there? There's 30 or 40?
Yeah, something like that. I was going to say 50, but I don't know the exact number.
So let's, you know, 468,000 and divide that by, let's just say 40.
Well, half of them are in the business category, you know.
Right. So 11,700 shows per category. That's all you're competing with. You know, some categories are more or less. But on average, you know, it's not even a sloped average. It's just a raw average. So, you know, it's not that big of a competition space. So, but yes.
Yeah, you're not competing against 4 million. That's the gist of it. But it is interesting, the article you wrote out, you know, and then what, you know, some stats from way back when I thought was interesting. On November 24th, 2006. It was 90,000 podcasts.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I remember when, you know, I think when I first started Bet you there wasn't more than 500.
I'm dating myself. When yeah, I started, there was 50. So
yep, I remember.
Or at least somewhere in there. We weren't even counting back then. We didn't even. No. Yeah, I had no idea. So Bill Mayer is starting a podcast, and it's according to Deadline, it's gonna he's just doing a new podcast series. That's interesting.
Yep. And the thing he's doing, and you know, Bill Maher, he's more on the left than the right, but he's becoming a little bit more libertarian lately. And one of the reasons he's doing it as an independent podcast, so he's not signed with some big outfit to do it. He's not going exclusive to anybody. It's just an independent podcast.
Good for him.
And that was the cool part, because you know, he's all for free speech. You might not agree with the word he says, but I got to respect him for that.
Right. Know. So congratulations for Bill Mayer. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to tune in and listen to what he has to say. Let's move into our best practice. Best practices, starting off with just a simple term, stick with it. You know, publish enough episodes to foster an audience or following. What do you want to add to that, Mike? I know you got more written here.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, if you do one or two or three episodes, something like that, and, you know, your listeners are going to look at that and say, well, I don't know if I want to commit to this. You know, a lot of listeners will listen to a couple episodes before they commit to follow or subscribe. And, you know, the more you do, the more likely they're going to say, okay, they're here for the long haul. I'll be here for the long haul.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, that's it. You know, we've said this for years, you know, if you get past the seventh episode, you have a pretty good chance of making it. Mackenzie wrote in there 15. I think it was more like 20 for the next episode.
And again, Mark. it's like these kind of these spots, and you look at across the, it's not just us, you look at across the industry, you know, the high failure rate up to episode 7, then again 15 to 20, another section of shows quit. But once they kind of get to 20 plus, they kind of make it. And if you think about it, 20 plus, what is that? That's if you're doing one a week, that's 5 months.
Right.
And then, you know, what do you think, you know, as if you are a podcaster and you are going to listen to a show, what are the things that trigger you to want to trust a show to follow or subscribe or tune back into? Maybe you get a recommendation and you go listen to it because of that, or you happen upon it, you discover it somewhere. Yeah, what is your criteria? We'd love to hear you give us some feedback on that.
Right. You know, you look at certain hosts out there that you know, there's one show, you know,
one episode.
You know, tap tap tap. Is this thing working? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
you know,
I always use the word test. Yeah. So, you know, really though, even with us at Blueberry, our goal is to get you, first of all, to episode 1.
Get you up and running.
Yep. Get you up and running, get you going. And that's what our team is here, is to help you get to episode 1 if you need anything technical or advice, or, you know, this is what we're here for, to get you up and running. Let's talk about a little Blueberry news. We got a podcast of the month. Again, that's Dr. Denise McDermott, MD. And she's got a very, very interesting show and series of shows. High energy, very, very high energy woman. It's a health and science category. It's called The Dr. Denise Show. And she wants you and your mental health to thrive. And she's got a series of subset shows too. And this lady has a major credentials, a PhD, obviously. I think you're gonna love listening to the interview that's coming up here later with her. But details on her being our podcaster of the month are in the show notes and at podcastinsider.com.
Our new audience survey we announced last week.
Monday. Yeah. Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Lose track of time here. But anyway, we went through the questions and we updated them. They were a little little dusty from being around for so long. We updated the look of the thing for the people taking the survey. And we added a couple other little features there, but the big thing is coming up.
Yeah. So what we've done is you'll see in the stats now, there's a new audience tab. And now currently that audience tab doesn't have a lot there. It has ability for you to download a CSV.
Right.
But what the dev team is doing is we have a design to be able to display your audience survey results in
some graphical form,
a graphical form. So you see the male-female ratio, you see the education, you'll see the earnings, all those questions we ask, you'll see in the report. So what's really exciting about that ultimately is you'll be able to take your audience survey, you'll be able to set a date range, just like you do now in the stats, and you'll be able to say, okay, for the people who have taken my survey over the last 6 months, let's say you run one 3 months ago and you only want to do the last 3 months, then you can get a pretty good grip on what's happening with your audience right now. And obviously, you got to have enough people filling out the survey to get this data. Yeah. But at the same time, we're going to have those graphics will fit right into a media kit. Yep. You're going to be able to take those graphics and put them in a media kit or information on your website to share about your show with people that may be interested in supporting you financially, whether it be listeners or advertisers. So I think the real key here is we wanted to get the new survey on the street now.
Yeah, so people can get some data in there.
So you can start getting some data. And then in about, I don't have a timeline, but I'm expecting 30 days or so, sure, we'll have the GUI up for you to see. And actually, I was talking with the dev team about that yesterday. They're going to work on segments. I don't want to release it till it's all done.
Right.
But we'll get this knocked out, and then that'll be something we're going to add to stats along with other stuff. We're telling you this is going to be an ongoing progression of things to help you grow and analyze your show. We want you really to have that ability. Publishing, that's what we do. That's core. Analyzing, this is the stuff that we're putting in stats. Grow is pieces like the headliner integration, audio burst, and then all this data that we're going to give you that allow you to make intelligent decisions about what's going on with your show, how it's being consumed, who's listening.
Yeah, a lot of people are asked for demographic information. Well, you can't get that from just straight stats.
Right.
Without being really, really, breaking laws and stuff. So we don't want to do that. So this is a better way to do it.
And I talked with a company saying, okay, here's how do I get this information without doing the survey data? Is there a way for us with what we have in our log files to not break privacy and GDPR? Is there a way for me to have an idea, And it's out there, but the price tag was in the millions of dollars.
That too.
Was in the millions of dollars for us to implement with a third party to try to pull that data in.
And it's just a really educated guess too. So it's, it's not guaranteed data. It's not. You get a survey, that's, best, as good as it gets.
It's a P1. It's a top, probably the top 10% of your audience is going to respond to that and tell you who they are. And we've also got some social stuff in there too, so that ultimately, you will get the ability, or that listener will have the ability to do a social share.
Yeah.
So make sure you go into the audience survey, and if nothing else, get the settings set. Add your Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. Get that all.
Put a link on your site.
And that way, when someone finishes the survey, they can actually then promote you. So again, it's about helping you grow. They can do a show shout out, and it'll immediately allow them to share that. Love to hear your feedback on this. What do you like what we're doing? And things are looking pretty fresh.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's what we've got for us. Again, don't forget, still more to come. I can't say that enough. But we've got a blueberry pro tip talking about podcasting into books.
Yes.
It's a good topic.
Yeah, Toby's promoting a new book coming up, so he's thinking a lot about books. So here we go.
As a podcaster or a fan of podcasts, you understand more than most how audio only connects with your listeners and you in a deeper way than other visual mediums. This week, I've been recording my audiobook, and although I found the process pretty grueling at times, it's been really nice to say the words in the tone intended. Lots of podcasters, including many of our clients, use their podcast to write a book. podcaster Tim Ferriss has written a few compendium-style books inspired by conversations he's had, the first being Tools of the Titans. In the same way podcasts connect to us more intimately than video, many books are often much better than the film. So, if you've built up a library of interesting and useful content on your podcast and publishing your own book appeals, maybe you should look into it. To create a book-worthy podcast, quality show notes will really help you and or your book publisher make a strong start. That's one of the many reasons all our pro production packages come with show notes created for each episode. If you want to get your podcast book ready, why not get in touch? You can find us over at blueberrypro.com.
Check out blueberrypro.com. And check out the team and what they do. We've got a lot of podcasters that are working with the Blueberry Pro team, and we want you to do so as well. All right, we've got an interview coming up. This is an interview I did with Dr. Denise McDermott, MD, podcaster of the month. Talked a little bit about her a few minutes ago, so we'll go ahead and kick that interview. And Mike, we'll roll it. Hey, everyone, and welcome Dr. Denise McDermott to the show. Welcome to the show, Denise. I think I tried three times to get this started, so welcome to Podcast Insider.
Oh, my goodness, Todd. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Absolutely. And, of course, you're our podcaster of the month, and we're excited to talk to you about your podcast. Why don't you just give us a little introduction about you and what you do and your show so that the audience can get to know you a little bit.
Thank you. So I am Dr. Denise McDermott. It's the Dr. Denise Show. And my vision and the inspiration behind it when it launched in 2016 was to change the way we, and I capitalized W-E, and I'll explain that we, change the way we all think, talk, and act about mental health. So when I launched it, I had a vision, and I actually wrote a mission statement the year before. And it was about how can we have different dialogue? How can we realize the power of our words, thoughts, and actions? And, you know, Todd, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to limit my audience. I actually wrote the words all kind in capitals in my own vision board. And when I look at the journey now, it's just been like exciting. So I even have like different series. But I think it's interesting because mental health and mental wellness and reducing the stigma and just talking about that is like almost like sexy now. But for me, it's always been like important. And when I say sexy, I mean like the topic. I'm hoping that society, with all that we're doing and all the progress we've made, I hope that we don't go backwards, that we just stay on this positive ascension mindset about mental health and mental well-being.
You know, it's kind of true. There was a time where, you know, people really didn't want to say that, you know, they were getting help or they had a challenge, and it led to a lot of negative consequences. I'm sure that you've gone into that in your series on your shows, and you've been podcasting now since 2016. You've got nearly 250 episodes under your belt. So it sounds to me like you took that mission statement and you acted upon it. How has the journey since you started your show now over 5 years ago, actually 6 years almost, how's that been?
Oh my goodness. I have to tell you, I get so inspired. For me personally, I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist. So I have my private practice where I integrate like holistic health and everything. But then for me, the shows and meeting these individuals, whether I'm doing a series, a mini series with someone I know and do deep dives on topics, or when I meet someone like Jacqueline Bosuto, who she in 2000, this is one of my, at the beginning days in 2017, there was a series, I want to just do a mindful pause. I like to kind of put my hand on my heart when I'm about to talk something a little heavy. She was someone who decided not to take her life. She had been suicidal. She was at Columbia, and Columbia had many suicides that year. I think there were 6 within 5 months. And she was like the mental health advocate warrior chick who really, really raised awareness on campus. And I saw this in the media, And one thing that's exciting when you're doing a podcast and you're producing it yourself, you get inspired. You're like, oh my goodness, like what is that Jacqueline doing? She is really raising awareness. And so I reached out to her and wanted to make sure I could interview her when the time was right. And so she took her experience of getting the right professional help, going to the authorities at the school, even the news, to say we need to do better about the way our students manage stress, manage holistic health. And a lot of the people who were unfortunate to, you know, make the decision that it wasn't worth staying on Earth. By the way, I have a hard time saying suicide, and it's not because I'm afraid of it. It's because I'm on the front lines still, right? So for me, it's very real. Like, even over the holidays, I had three people that I'm so glad they decided to stay on the planet. So this is a really big, this is life and death, right? So I do shows where I get to meet someone like Jacqueline, who is now, you know, taking her experience, thriving, you know, 4 or 5 years later. That's one aspect. I have times where I interview people that are athletes. I've been really blessed to go to India. You can ask me more deep dives, but it's really like inspiring. It's inspiring to connect with other human beings that are just trying to have their best life and also to inspire others.
You know, I spent 25 years in the Navy, and I was in combat, but I was from afar. I was in airplanes and flew and really came out unscathed from a PTSD standpoint. So, but I had many friends who did not. And sadly, you know, we've lost some of those. And I've always told people, I've always said, listen, if you know a vet or if you know someone that might be distressed, you know, maybe sometimes the best question to ask is, how are you doing?
And I love that.
You know, and if nothing else, it gets a conversation. It may get a conversation started, and always look for resources. But, you know, I'm sure, too, since the beginning of coronavirus, I'm sure that you've COVID, since the beginning of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I call it the C word.
Since the beginning of that, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people have had a lot more stress, and I'm sure you've been very busy just as in a professional standpoint.
Yeah, I'm just taking a deep breath, kind of holding that sacred space for humanity. And I also want to honor, this is something I like to do in my shows, what you're feeling is really connecting with that unseen energy. I just want to, before I answer that question, I just want to send love to all the vets or anyone you've known that was suffering, and also anyone on the planet right now that's suffering with any mental health issue, spiritual crisis, financial, or health. It's really important that we take the time to show that we care about one another. And yes, I have to be honest with you, I'm a single mom. My son, just like many of the parents, you know, around the world, we all had to adapt and deal with Zoom school, kids not doing well academically. You know, I work with all ages in my practice, children, teens, and adults. I saw everything that, you know, you read in the media, I actually experienced in my practice. I saw people having increased depression, suicidality. You know, people had domestic violence. I had, you know, I did some emergency home visits for people, you know, outside when people relapse, because I've been doing telehealth. And, you know, it's been a really, really tough time for humanity. I've also seen people, you know, if you're blessed to have like a creative spirit, use this time to also go within and get closer to their families, clear on their why, like why they're doing their life. I think when humanity's faced with the survival of the fittest or the immune system in this pandemic, people start to really go, okay, you know, 1 minute we're here and 1 minute we're not. We could all realize that at any time. But I think because of the pandemic, we're all like at that almost like front seat of like experiencing life and what does my life really mean? So I've actually seen a lot of sadness, but I've also seen a lot of people have hope and like, this is how I want to live my life. I maybe want to do a hybrid work day, or this is my inner circle, because we had to kind of choose who our pandemic group is. And it makes you really think. I don't know if you can experience this, Todd, of not only your own inner circle during the pandemic, but maybe a little bit more strategic on how you spend your time for your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique period. And, you know, obviously I work in the podcasting space, so we were pretty crushed business wise, and the team was the team was busy, but at the same time it was like, you know, I've told the team members, hey, if you need to take an afternoon off or just, you know, a couple hours to go watch TV or whatever you need to that little mental health break, please make sure you're doing that. And I worked with the team members as much as we could to, you know, make sure they were accommodated. And I think it was important. And I think it was a realization that for me, at least, that the well-being of the team members was much more important than the bottom line. We had to take care of them first. So I think that a lot of companies probably have realized that. And so it interests me a lot on your podcast then, getting into the topics you cover, because you often probably have to relate, or maybe you're talking with, you know, maybe doing interview, but what are you personally, because oftentimes people that are in the mental health space need their own mental health assistance. Does your show serve as a kind of therapy for you as well? Or what do you get out of your show?
I love this. So first of all, you really covered one of my ding, 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 dings. So gratitude is my secret sauce. So first of all, before we answer that, I just want to say thank you for having this space for podcasters. And I feel incredibly fortunate that I went into the pandemic already with a platform. And yes, I like to say creativity fuels the soul. Doing the interviews, you have no idea. Like for me this morning, I purposely scheduled this interview. I know it's going to release later, but I did it on Valentine's Day, because to me, doing shows is a form of self-care and self-love. And I'm like, oh my God, I get to meet Todd today. Like I get excited. I have my coffee. I'm happy. I get to meet another human being. I get inspired. So it's absolutely part of my mental wellness plan. In fact, the more I go through crises in my practice, the more shows that month. During the holidays, this last holiday season, with people having COVID, people being sad, I had bronchitis. I dodged it. I dodged COVID, but I had bronchitis, but I still said the show must go on. I think I did 19 shows in January. So it does serve as my own mental health and feeling, but it also inspires me. Sometimes I have dreams of topics, and then I'm like, wait a second, I have the Dr. Denise show, but I have all these different audiences. I need to create different mini series so I have a focused intention with my audience. I just have fun. It's a form of deep play. And my three themes of this year for the Dr. Denise show and all my different series are self-care is the new cool.
Nice.
Deep play. And I had a dream where cursive writing was going divine, exquisite, ethereal, and peaceful. So it's really teaching people deep play can be anywhere. It can be doing a show. It can be swimming. It can be in your form of worship, that it's really a form of mindful meditation. And that is mind medicine. So self-care is a new cool, deep play. And then I had written in 2015, love all kind. And my all kind went beyond gender, sexuality, all ages, and even beings, the possibility of the infinite universe. I think sometimes I know we're on Earth having the human experience, but I'm open to the multiverse. I've trained in remote viewing. I've met with quantum physicists. So I also have different series that integrate the more universal geek in myself. So I really just am having a blast.
You know, I've always said too, when I to you know, any show that I've participated in, or, you know, what is my goal? You know, what is the goal of the show? And my mom and I did a show about 15 years ago when we lost my dad, and it was really her kind of, it was therapy for her and I to talk on the podcast. And it was, you know, it was things like her breakdown when she couldn't find the key to the lawnmower because he'd hid it someplace, and me having to send a friend over to find the, it was those little things that, that widows go through. And so we had decided at the beginning of that series, all we really want to do is try to help one person. That was the goal. And in turn, we also helped ourselves by kind of walking and talking through what was happening with her and with me and the loss of my dad and her with the loss of her spouse. So I think every podcast, you know, in the end, I hope people have a goal for their show. You know, what do they want to do? What do they, you know, who do they want to reach? So I guess the question I want to ask you then is, what is the goal for your audience that listens? What are they getting out of the show, and what are the feedback do you hear back?
Well, I have a lot of different series, but I want to say you said something about the way you run your team of putting almost like humans first and people first. So one of the things I've heard, and one of my intentions was not only to help people change the way they think, but be inspired. But I like the shows to be healing and entertaining and educational. And they are. I've gotten feedback that one of my series where I did a mini series to help heal, it was for myself, but I actually wanted my audience to benefit from it. You know, just like you and your mom doing your story, you were grieving, but celebrating and like talking, and then inspires people to think about their loved ones and loss. And so there was one series where someone that's in my practice, one of my patients said, "Oh my goodness, that episode you did on forgiveness, on rocking a betrayal, it was a sacred sisterhood. Oh my goodness, that was whatever words you said in that show made me forgive my dad for incest."
Mm.
And I was like, "What? I've known this person." She's like, "There's something about what you said about when you're going through your own suffering and how you go into it that just clicked, like all the years of therapy." And she said it was a breaking point for her. And I was like, "Oh my gosh," I was getting chills. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So then I think, "Oh wow, well, look at that suffering, that fraud I went through. Look at how it's helping others." Because, you know, I think when we go through our own experiences, Todd, with humility and that human spirit, and we realize we're all vulnerable, even if we have a different life story, of course, it's like that to me is like I felt like I won the universe lottery when she told me that.
You know, it's at a different level, but there's that gratification that you get back from your audience. And, you know, I do a tech show. That's one of the shows I do. And it's not like it's going to affect your life, but it's like you get that little bit of feedback saying, "Oh, wow, that was cool. I'm going to go check that out." It's gratification in different ways. So I could see where your show is definitely on a really super deep level. And I like that about podcasting, because you can have what I do, which is kind of a fun news show, where you do down deep in the weeds and get into the guts of life. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's that conversation.
Yes. And so what I wanted to tell you is, because I've been asked to possibly do television and stuff later, but I'm a single mom and I want to prioritize my time and just keep organically, which is why I'm so grateful for this platform and thankful for you and everyone running it. One of the things that I do, that was one example I just gave you, but I wanted to reach and kind of be playful too. So I have my Creative Mind series that I launched in the fall of 2021. And I'd already been interviewing people in this genre, but I decided to like elevate kind of a focused intention. So within the Dr. Denise Show umbrella, the Creative Mind series, it's like a pop culture meets mental wellness and a healing medium. And so I've interviewed directors, producers, I've been invited to film. I went to the Asian Art Film Festival, then I met the producer, and then like, "Oh my gosh," she's like, "Denise, should we produce something together?" And then I met this amazing Bill Bennett, who did this film called PGS Intuition, and he's in Australia, and he's like a multi award-winning director, and he's been, you know, on the front lines of the news in Australia. And he called to tell me, "I have never had anyone interview me like you did. You got things out of me that no one ever has." And that was its own different kind of fun compliment too, when you meet people from different backgrounds and you're just taking interest.
So you just hit on something. It's a little bit off the topic of what I normally cover in the show, but how did you get more out of him? Was it your research? Was it just the conversation?
I have to be honest with you. I kind of got a little bit of experience of interviewing people because I have 40,000 hours of patient
right.
care.
Yeah.
So I think I create this space that just sounds like, I even was told by these lovely actresses in Namibia, these award-winning actresses, girlie said, "Dr. Denise," during the show, even though that part got cut off, "I feel like I'm in your living room on your sofa." So I create this. It's just like we're sitting there just hanging out.
Right.
And so no one else is listening. And like, it's almost like me using some of my superpowers from how I am as a doctor and just creating that like really deep connection. So I think the answer is I don't like to research too much. I do the opposite. Just like when I see a patient for the first time, I don't want a lot of data about them. I want to get my own tabula rasa. Mm-hmm. And so I know I have to know enough about my guests, but I prefer to be organic because I don't know what your beliefs are, but I believe in the universe and love is the highest power. And I believe in all world religions.
Yeah. So it's always amazing when we have the real world come into our lives, just like it did here a moment ago with the garbage truck. So
absolutely. But I actually think those are opportunities to show how we handle stress and how we take a deep breath and how we can pivot. I call it, you know, mindful pivot. So you were asking me about my process, and I was just saying that a big part of my bridge, not only as a doctor and as a mother and, you know, as a podcaster and host, I like to use the concept of, you know, linear meets nonlinear. So I like to do just a little bit of research, but I literally like that organic, intuitive flow. It excites me. That's even part of the excitement for me. I have no idea how much fun the interview is going to be and where it's going to go.
I think that's really important in, you know, just, you know, because we have a lot of podcasters listening to this. So, you know, sometimes people will send me a list of questions and I'm like, I really just want to have a conversation. I don't want to go down a checklist. And to me, the natural conversation always seems to bring out more. It may not go exactly where you want it to go during the conversation, but there's always something that comes out.
I love that. And I have to tell you something. When I do one really geeky show on my Embrace Your Neurostyle series, which, by the way, neurostyle is defined as we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. And then there's the fabulous five, biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual, and then the sixth sense, intuition. So that's my like geeky doctor meets universe meets quantum physics meets let's interview people that are like the pioneers and changing the way we talk about mental health. So I have to tell you, Todd, when I do a more geeky show, then I make sure I do like a diva discussions, and I might do a fun one. I just did a really fun show on called Let's Flirt on my diva discussions, and I interviewed a dating strategist. So like if I were to, I'm also producing my podcast as though it could turn into a huge show later.
Sure.
So I have different segments. I have another thing called On Staying Sane. So my four series right now are Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond, Creative Mind series, which is the one that's pop culture meets mental health and wellness. Then I have diva discussions that can be more of a playful, edgy, but sometimes like inspirational women. I have an amazing show launching today. The woman is named Hazel Ortega. She was Latina influencer of 2020. She went from her book is pay stubs to private jets. And she's helping, you know, people come out of poverty. And so like they're fun, but inspirational. And then I have a new one that this is fun. I don't know how many times you get to do shows with people you've known for a really long time. But my bestie since age 9 is an Emmy Award winning news reporter. And she's interviewed Snoop Dogg, past presidents. And she is doing kind of a pause in her journalism, and she's working with me to do this On Staying Sane series where we're helping people to kind of navigate the news and kind of mindful ingestion. We're like, how do we manage our media? What do we listen to? How do we get like the news breaks? How do we stay kind of sane for real in this world? So I have a lot of fun, if you can tell, just mixing it up and just being entertained myself. If I'm not having fun, I don't want to listen to it.
That's
oh my God. Right? Like, I don't know if you've ever had that feeling.
I've always told my audience, when it quits being fun, I'm not going to do the show anymore. So as long as it's fun, I'm going to continue to do it. And you know, you sound like you've got this bundle of energy. So I'm sure that the audience is listening. You say, okay, you're a doctor, you have a practice, you have patients. Where do you find the time to do this show?
I'm really blessed. I've learned that time's man-made. This is the truth. I'm not even kidding you. If you were here right now, you would laugh so hard. I have 12 bathing suits lined up with my flip-flops and different robes and different cute things. So I feel really fortunate. I can swoop in. I've been practicing psychiatry for so long. I'm incredibly blessed to connect with my patients. I help people to decide, you know, to either start eating again, not killing themselves very fast, because I help them inspire themselves. So that is almost like a cruise control being a physician. Like, nothing phases me. My life's been threatened. I mean, I've had money stolen from me, burner calls. You would never know. I look like just such a little sweet, innocent woman, right? So how I find the time is the more, and this is the truth, I'm not even kidding you. The more I swim in my complex pool, I swim anywhere from 45 to 70 minutes a day, and then I'm in there meditating. The more I slow down, the more present I am for my patients, the more creative. I'll be just swimming a laptop. I don't know what your process is. I'll be swimming and I'll just get a huge download of like the next people I want to interview and why. And it's just like play. So I have more time the more I slow down. I know it sounds counterintuitive. You've heard about it, but people hit that zone.
I think everyone finds their spot like that a little differently, and I can understand where you would if you're you know, doing laps or whatever you're doing in the pool. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like the shower. It's where I disconnect, and then it's like then the ideas come, and that's kind of stupid because it sounds very typical, but it truly is. It is not.
There's actually many. If you look up Einstein and you look up different things on the power of the shower and water, because you know there's the unseen energy. We have our linear material DNA as human beings, but then we have the unseen energy of the quantum field. So when we take showers or when we're in the pool, we're literally accessing a higher level of awareness where things just drop into awareness. And that's what true intuition is. That's a big passion of what I integrate into everything that I do.
It's such the point where I have a pad of paper that's actually in a pen that's in the bathroom at all times, because if you catch something, you want to write it down, because if not, I'll lose it.
So okay. Can I just tell you something?
Sure.
I just thought of the funnest entrepreneur idea, right? This is how my mind works. I think, dun, 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 Todd, dun, 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 anyone, dun, 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 about to shower, dun, 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 get a waterproof notebook. Like, you give someone a gift. You're like, oh, you too can access your higher level awareness. And you give them like a waterproof notebook.
There you go.
Your own favorite robe. What music would you like? Would you like to light a candle when you have your aha moment? Because it's the truth.
Yeah, and you don't have to get out and get the floor wet. You just stay there and jot on the tablet.
I've done that. Can I be honest with you? I have a confession. I have literally, when it was almost like a gift to have bronchitis in January, which you can laugh, the joke of the universe. You're just meeting me today, right? You're like, whoa, this woman can talk, right? So my friends are like, oh my God, you had bronchitis and you couldn't talk for 6 days. So in those 6 days of shh, I call it shh time, I have these manifestation journals, and that is when I literally even came up with more creative ideas. So I think whether you find out like in the, oh, I know, I was in the pool and I literally was doing, instead of swimming laps when I had bronchitis, I decided I shouldn't go underwater. I started doing what I call laps of love. I've been doing them, and I just would walk in the pool and then I would get more ideas. So I think you can tell how excited I get about creativity. And I love it when people find their own way. So like, you're Todd in the shower. You literally could market that. You could have like a notebook with like a waterproof thing that makes you feel happy. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And I'm going to be honest with you. You're probably one of my most interesting guests on this show in a very, very long time, because you have a diverse of topics. You have high energy. I'm excited. I'm going to subscribe to your podcast series, because it's just, I can tell that there are gems there that are going to be able to pull out and inspire and help and well-being, the whole nine yards. I'm looking at your website at drdenisemd.com, and I see that you have, as an example, of course you got your show stuff on there, but you got Think Positive, Fresh Air, Beauty, good, let me roll this up, Meditate, Eat Well, Always Learning, Exercise. These are like fundamental things that you do, and it's part of, I'm assuming it's all incorporated into your show.
It is, but it's also, yes, but I get so excited to meet people like you. Like, I'm already like, oh my gosh, when can I interview Todd? Which series is right? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure,
so
sure.
I get, so thank you. Yes, I love being the change, but I love being inspired by others. It's like, and can you imagine, like, one of my things that I just feel like, and hopefully after this pandemic, we have more reverent relationships. One of the most powerful thing I love about doing podcasting, I don't know if you can relate, is that I not only get the blessing of meeting this cool individual, I was out last night celebrating the Super Bowl with Kimmy. Like, Kimmy and I did a show called Let's Flirt with her, and then we were putting it in action. We were flirting last night. I'm just kidding. No, but it's the truth. And I'm like, oh my God, dun, dun, dun. She's surveying the area. Dun, dun, dun. GPS system. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, you're attracted to those. And then, like, I just got to see her in action. So not only did I meet her at a networking event, Trent Clark was on my Champion Mindset series. He's a Major League Baseball champion. He remembered me, Todd. We had an interview 1 year ago, right? He's like, Denise, I'm doing something at an outdoor venue in January. This is January 2022. I meet the coolest people at these events, and now three of them are on my show, and now they're like becoming my friends. So this is not just like, oh, yes, I just want to get many listeners. I get excited about the whole process of getting to know someone and where it's going to go.
And, you know, I think, too, I learned this in the early days of doing the type of interviews that I do for my tech show. And it was all about the connections. It was always like 2 years later coming back and seeing them, and they would invite you in and you'd sit down and have a conversation about life, not about business. So really, I think, too, doing podcasting and doing interviews and talking with people, you learn about them in a deep way. And it's not like having cocktail hour. It's really a true deep conversation. So
Todd, speaking of which, since I know that I'm going to want to interview you, can you just tell me like about you and your vision with your platform? Because it's really exciting.
Well, you know, it's really about giving folks the ability to have a voice. And it's not just, we live in a world today where everyone has an opinion, and sometimes opinions are frowned upon based upon, you know, there's lots of different reasons. But I think everyone has a story to tell. And I think sometimes voices do not get the platform that they need to have. So number one, I want to make sure that all color, races, creeds are able to podcast and get word out about what they're passionate about. And at the same time, it's one of those situations where I believe that podcasting is truly the last bastion of free speech. Where now, free speech doesn't come without consequences, but I think we have the ability in podcasting to have a platform where if we're on our own.com, and basically we can have a voice. And I guess that's the real vision, right?
Can I just tell you, I actually almost got tears when you said that. In my sensory process, I get lightning bolt chills when things are like ding, 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 ding. And then you just said having a voice, that has to do even with my word, neurostyle. We all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And we do. And we all need to be listened to. You have your universe of information. I have mine. And I do think it's a real honor to have a platform. So you had a vision, and then how many podcasters are on your platform?
Well, you know, there's probably 80 to 100,000 that use our variety of services. So not all we have a direct impact on, you know, but there's definitely measurement. There's definitely, it runs the gamut of how they use, either using our plugin or maybe they're hosting with this. But I think in the end, what we really want to do is have the ability, and part of the company's, you know, mantra is, you know, everyone needs to be able to podcast and be able to have a voice and say what they want to say. I was sitting in a
I love that, by the way.
I was
it's
sitting
so in, lovely. It's so pure. I love it.
A couple of years ago, I was at an event. It was Dragon Con, and it was I was sitting in the back of the room just listening to a panel. And what I learned, really, that I knew it, but I didn't really realize it, was that oftentimes the media makes things portrayed one way or the other based upon whatever they want to promote. And this specific group was basically trying to get the message out, and the media was portraying it one way, and it was completely wrong. And they basically started a podcast purely on the simple fact that they wanted to make sure their message got out the way that they wanted it presented with no editing. And I think that made me set back in the seat a little bit and say, okay, this is really, and again, what you say has consequences if you're saying something off kilter, but at the same point, you have the ability to say the way you want it said and not have it be filtered or edited.
What you're saying is so profound. I feel like this would be like a part two of us, but I'm going to just be really try to be eloquent and succinct. One of the biggest things that I've learned in my 6 years of doing this is that people, I have had the fraud committed on me. I did a series called Rocking a Betrayal, very short. Someone targeted me because of my messaging and brand. But then I used that energy just to serve and help more. But then I had other people try to steal my intellectual property. Oh, you should work for the major networks. So I have to be honest with you, what I learned and why I'm so grateful and thankful to someone like yourself, thank you so much, and everyone that works with you, is that it's more pure if I stay the Dr. Denise Show and I give all these different series and I grow organically and I get to meet cool people. And then if they listen, they will come. I'm in no rush. I feel honored. You know, like, enjoy the process. Don't go too schnazzy fancy. Because if I go work for, maybe I'll do projects. I don't want to say never. I'm willing to do documentaries and projects with bigger entities. But I literally like the purity of my vision and word, and also just meeting people and not having someone tell me no. I don't like being told no.
Exactly. That I call it gatekeepers. We don't need any gatekeepers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're really talking about freedom of the soul.
Absolutely.
And when you were talking about how you treat the people in your lovely, lovely company and their own managing of stress, you know, you hear these words and sometimes we get triggered. Oh, mind, body, spirit. It's going to be this big religious. I was on the news, like one of those news nations in 2021 as Dr. Denise bringing in the new year. And my friend's like, oh, she was worried you're going to be too spiritual. I'm like, no, I can do it all. I can throw it down with Buddhist monks. I've been to India. I did it. By the way, I was a co-host of a show called Clean Eating Dirty Sex. I've done this Alomi Lingerie campaign. I am very happy with all dimensions of integrating. And so I don't want to also just pigeon myself, just like you said, that what you're doing with your platform, that you want to make sure everyone has a voice and you can reach so many people. I have the ability to work with patients in my practice of all ages, gender, sexuality. And I want to like mirror that, but have fun in the Dr. Denise Show. So like even the spring season, I'm going to do stuff with entrepreneurism in my creative mind. I'm going to take this leadership course that I've been a part of Global Consciousness and have her co-host with me. And we've designed jewelry together. So we're going to integrate fashion, entrepreneurism, capitalism with altruism. And I'm just going to do a short 3 to 7 on that. Then I can shift and do something else. So I just want to say this platform that you're doing and creating for people is incredibly important for freedom of speech, freedom of the soul, and also just giving us a creative outlet and feeling empowered. I think so many people, I formed an Ascension Media space. I haven't even opened up a bank account because I like to open up like prayers and my intentions first and then grow it from a soul and spirit and service oriented. So the monetization of my Dr. Denise Show is about to take off at some point. We can even talk, but I wanted to show that I was the real deal for all these years. That I'm going to spend the time, I'm going to spend the love, and I'm going to create the real connections. Because that means more to me than anything. I told someone, they told me their net worth, and I said, well, I'm a spiritual billionaire.
I love that.
really, there's nothing wrong with net worth. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with a portfolio. But are you giving back? Are you in integrity? I like to use words like in integrity. So you can just get the flavor. And I was so excited to meet you. I know we're doing audio only, but I always like to dress the part. I have a little red outfit, pearls. I've got my coffee. I've got like a candle lit. Like, I get to meet Todd. So that's the other thing. When you're a podcaster, get excited about it. Like that is your moment right then to connect with another human being. And that is the gift. Sometimes we're always like, what's the end point? This is the journey. This is my happiness.
Well, I want to do is give you an opportunity to tell folks where to find your show. And I think, you know, we know it's the Dr. Denise Show, but where's the best place? And you know, give them all that info. And if you have a contact you want to share, feel free to do that.
Thank you so much. So I'm really fortunate. You can find them on drdenisemd.com, ascensionmedia.love. And then I'm also on the Mental Health News Radio Network platform that then allowed me to be on like 16 or over 16 platforms. So I am on Spotify, Pandora, Apple, Spreaker. I've been very fortunate to get a lot of coverage.
So everyone, make sure you go see or go listen to Dr. Denise and check her podcast out. I want to thank you. This has been exciting. I want to thank you for spending the time that you have with us and sharing and tell us about your journey. And it sounds like you've got a lot more things planned, and I'm excited to see where things go. And of course, thank you for being a customer, but more importantly, thank you for what you're doing with your podcast and helping people.
Thank you so much. And thank you for, I love what my big take home nugget from you is to allow everyone to have a voice. So I really have such gratitude for that. Thank you, Todd, for our time today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And everyone, again, check Dr. Denise out at drdenisemd.com. All right. Thank you, Dr. Denise, for the interview. And we definitely congratulate you on being our podcast for the month. Let's move into the question of the week. The question is... Dun, da, da, da.
Go ahead.
If I want to have a guest on my podcast, do they need to sign a release form or anything legal like that?
Okay, and Mackenzie answered this question this week, so I'll read what she had to say. It's not required, but it could greatly work in your favor to have them sign one, even a simple version. Most likely, all will go smoothly with your guest. However, on the off chance that it doesn't, something like this could assist in any trouble you run into with them. Gordon Firemark, a known podcast lawyer, has a downloadable one on his site, which we'll have a link to in the show notes in this section. And personally, I don't do a release form. Not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying I don't. Whenever I have interviewed people, I get it kind of, you know, just on the audio, I pretty much say, you know, you're cool with me putting this on the podcast, right? You know, or something like that. So yeah. I don't know if that really covers it, but.
I've signed them before for people that require me, but I've never done a release. Now, again, it can come back. And if you have someone that's run into a challenge, maybe they didn't like how you produced the podcast and they asked you to take it down. And then you're kind of put in between this little uncomfortable spot. If you have the release, they've acknowledged that you're going to make this available. So it's really up to you on how you feel. If the topic is one of those that might get sketchy and you have some pushback from the guest later after you edit it. So having a release is always the best practice, but not one that everyone does.
Yeah, it's not required, as Mackenzie said there. But, you know, like in my case, I'm usually interviewing friends or friendlies. You know, it's not like I'm interviewing somebody, you know, a hostile interview like you would see on the news or something.
Right.
You know, nothing like that. So, you know, it's your own risk. You know, Gordon seems to think that it's pretty necessary and it probably is a good idea. And so go check out that form that he has for free on his site. And go for it.
Awesome. So if you got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's because we couldn't afford the E's, blueberry.com. Audio, text, or video, and we may use it. Of course, the best place for support with any Blueberry product or service is our ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tivet tickets give the whole team access rather than direct email or call. So, of course, we've been coming to you this week from the New Media Studio in Coldwater, Michigan, and Mike Dell's World Studio in Traverse City, Michigan, produced by the Blueberry Pro production team at blueberrypro.com. You can always schedule one-on-one with myself, hosting customers only, email Todd at blueberry.com. You can always schedule a tech checkup with Mike. Again, hosting customers only, email Mike at blueberry.com. If you want some swag, you can send us your podcast sticker and a self-addressed stamped envelope. Say that five times real fast. And we'll send you a Blueberry care package. Our mailing address is on the website at podcastinsider.com within the show notes of this episode. So podcast movement is coming. Yeah. I'm going to be here for the next episode. But the following week, we're going to be in Los Angeles at Evolutions.
Yeah, I'll find a special co-host for that week since I'm staying here in Michigan.
So we've had a monster show today. We appreciate you all listening through to the end. Definitely thank you so very much. Again, keep your eyes peeled to the blog, of our social, everything. Next week is a big week for us. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.